month?
Hey, it is. Oh, good. Okay. Good morning. Today is Friday, August the 7th. The mics are on. Miles Slattery's still here. It is kind of nice to at least have somebody out there listening. Rich. Oh, got a couple different things to talk about this morning, but before we climb into that, let's see if we can find a worthy quote of summertime, huh? No, okay, fine. Maybe not. Baseball. Okay, here we go. According to Nikki Giovanni, Sacred Cows and Other Edibles, which is actually kind of a cool name for a book, isn't it?
Yes.
I like that one. Baseball is the world's most tranquil sport. It's probably the only active sport where you're not necessarily required to be alive to play.
Yes. It's a fine line between tranquil and boring.
Oh, boy. So when you got the budget call, what did it do to your areas of responsibility in the city?
Well, it's not foreign to us to have cuts. We've been cutting since 2007, 2008. But
well, don't you call that maintenance?
Yes, it is budget maintenance. For this year, we increased some revenue in some areas, and we also had to do some demotions within the department and cut back on a lot of temporary salaries. But we removed all of our senior titles from all of our parks and recreation positions, and so they went down to the lesser job description on that. And that was probably the most painful.
And that was enough to be able to have everybody maintain their employment?
Well, that was our main objective, is we wanted to make sure that we didn't lose any staff. So
it worked?
Yes, it did. And we also had to, we had some recycling revenue that we generate through our environmental programs that we added to the budget. And then we also raised the franchise fee with our franchise hall of ecology to make up for some of the deficit.
It's, I think, interesting for a lot of folks to try to project themselves in that situation. Mm-hmm. Okay, you're at home, you got to cut 15%, got to cut 10%, or whatever. What was it, 12, I think, was the
it ended up being range. About 12, yeah.
Yeah, I know some of the guys got tagged at 20. Mm-hmm. Some got a little bit less. Okay, 12% less, starting tomorrow, go. Mm-hmm. And yeah. Just go through that exercise yourself with some form of a fixed income. And it's not going out working more. You mentioned the franchise fees. Obviously, with Parks and Rec, there's user fees associated with that also, or participation fees. I would think that the uninitiated would initially go, oh, well, let's just bump up the rates for XYZ. Was that contemplated? Was that considered? Or was that kind of put to aside and looked at some of the systemic challenges?
No, we always try and get cost recovery for all of our programs. What we end up doing, though, is when we get into that type of situation, is we need to compare ourselves to other communities. And when we compare ourselves to other communities, we don't want to price ourselves out of the market. So we did raise and make them consistent some of our park rental fees. And we had a blanket amount of, they covered the whole day, and now we've limited to 3 hours.
It's 8:19.
You've never heard us before, because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:23. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Miles Slattery. Miles, as we look at the challenges that are there with the budget, with the economy locally. What do you see as the what will the department for Parks and Rec, what will the zoo look like? Give it 5 years. Give it 10 years. Is it going to be recognizable for the services and the options that are there today, or is it going to be something different?
I would, you know, like I said, we've been making cuts since 2007, and there's had to been a lot of creative ways in making up for some of those services and the responsibilities for those services. We did the reorganization, and Parks and Recreation was formed by pulling out Parks, Recreation, Harbor, Facilities, the Zoo, and Environmental Programs into one department. We did a lot of cross-training, so somebody works in Parks, they may be doing work down at the Harbor. If somebody works at the Harbor, they may be doing work for Facilities. So, you know, we have three staff members to maintain 80 different buildings across the city. I mean, in the past, we've had up to 10. You know, I mean, if you look at the age of our buildings and where we're at as far as in comparison to other municipalities, there's a lot of deferred maintenance that's going on here. And so we have all of our staff, Harbor, Parks, Recreation. We have temporary recreation staff that are doing facilities work. We have temporary recreation staff doing custodial work. So there's been a lot of crossover, and we've also made up for a lot of the full-time salaries, because obviously, as everybody knows, that the pension has been a problem for the budget, a big part of that. And so we've made up for a lot of those responsibilities by not only volunteers and partnerships with volunteer groups, but also through temporary staff. We have over 150 temporary staff throughout the year that work for
the college kids, the high school kids, summer jobs. Is that what temporary staff is?
They actually do our after school program during the year as well. So okay. I mean, we get, and we've had temporary. You'd be amazed that, you know, for the pay that we pay them, we've had some seriously dedicated staff that have been on our staff for 10, 15 years just as a temp and working other jobs and still contributing because they value the community and they appreciate what they do.
It's more of a payback.
Yes.
Rather than an income.
It's definitely not for the dollar.
Is there something wrong with having those folks do some of those more basic tasks? I mean, it to me, it kind of sounds like, well, yeah,
We definitely take the other duties as assigned in the job description to heart, and we make sure that everybody does do that. There are, you know, certain areas and certain
people that don't like it. Electrical, okay, guy,
100%.
You got to have somebody who knows what they're doing.
Yes,
if you're pushing a lawnmower or, you know, slapping paint on a building, maybe the job skill set is a little less.
Yeah, I mean, there's still training. There's still the liability issue, so there's training for anything that you do, and you know, and there's just different levels of that type of training. But yeah, I mean, if you got to be certified for certain things, i.e., an electrician, obviously, you know, that we need that certification. But there's other things that, you know, everybody can do. I mean, it's been great that we've had such a buy-in from all of our staff, because they've really taken to heart that other duties as assigned. We've had, you know, facility staff moving furniture, painting, doing. Recreation stuff.
Can you, I guess, accept volunteers?
Oh yeah.
To do some of the work, as I know that some of the contracts preclude, because if it's displacing or doesn't allow somebody to do it, you can't have a community member volunteer to. Some things that seem a little goofy from the outside. I know it's probably.
I'm not a lawyer and I'm not a union rep, but I, you know, from my understanding.
No, but you know them real well, don't you? Yeah. Well,
but from my understanding, because of these budgetary issues, those are the reasons why we've had to make these cuts, and it's a budgetary issue. And so, you know, we're not having volunteers, you know, doing everything. I mean, the volunteers that I'm talking about is that we, you know, we partner with a volunteer trail steward. There's a lot of maintenance along our trails. There's a lot of, we just actually are starting a new volunteer trail steward program in Cooper Gulch. And there's, you know, a lot of work that we do, you know, day to day. We have a volunteer quarterly, you know, trash cleanup and pickup from volunteers and stuff like that. We don't have volunteers, you know, doing the day-to-day routine maintenance of our facilities, but they definitely contribute in on a monthly or, you know, quarterly basis.
So if I'll pick on Carson Park because it's kind of in the neighborhood for us. You know, there seems to be a tendency for certain botanical species that are normally found in swamps growing up in the gutters. Would it be a problem if we, as an individual, came in and took care of that so that your staff didn't have to? Just being a neighbor.
We would love that, and we would.
So that kind of stuff is okay.
Obviously, there's some issues with safety and stuff, but we could kick off the parking and stuff like that. You know, H and I are pretty busy streets, but yeah, that's not a problem at all. And we've actually, you know, had that conversation and tried to get it. You know, from the Parks and Recreation perspective, you know, Parks is not staffed any more, you know, healthily than facilities is either. We have 5 full-time staff members that deal with all of our thousands of acres that we have to maintain. But the, you know, we would love to have that happen. What we've done as a city is we used to have an ongoing, whenever there was a volunteer that wanted to do an ongoing project, so it wasn't a one-day event, there was a very onerous package that came along with that. And now,
yeah, I remember poundage.
Yes, it was ridiculous. And yeah. So that's what's really nice about this Volunteers Trail Steward is that we have another organization that provides insurance coverage for our volunteers. They can sign up with this other group, and then we can have them doing an ongoing type of project.
How sad is it that you have to worry about insuring people who just want to help out?
Oh, 100%.
Well, like you said, you're not a lawyer, but you know one. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30. We'll be back with more from Miles Slatter.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Miles Slattery from the city of Eureka. Miles, what's the biggest, if I only had issue that you're dealing with right now, you know, if you had people or if you had, for one thing, or if you had money for one thing, or if you had public support for one thing, what would the one thing be?
You know, everybody likes to say the homeless issue, and I don't think that you can throw money at that to fix that, so I wouldn't say that. But if there was a budgetary thing that I could say that we were in dire need of, would be money for deferred maintenance for all of our facilities, whether it's parks, buildings, trails, harbor, all of those things are, you know.
That's really a big ticket item. At least you're thinking big here.
Yes.
Are any of those challenges, any of those situations, at the breaking point, so that if we have the El Nino that they're talking about this winter, that something could be a significant risk?
No. You know, we have buildings that aren't, you know, ADA compliant. We have buildings that, you know, have leaky roofs, those type of things. There's nothing really in danger of collapsing, I wouldn't say. But, you know, there's definitely, you know, we do our best with what we have in order to, you know, provide the facilities in a safe manner to the public and stuff. And so, you know, there's just a lot of stuff that, you know, the money hasn't been there. And, you know, Parks and Rec doesn't typically raise to the top of the public safety.
What would be the biggest surprise for the community members? Oh, really? As far as, you know, if you were able to bring something back. That's what it used to look like? That's what you would want to do with? What would be that biggest surprise for?
Well, I don't know. The people that hadn't, I don't know how long, you know, depending on how long you've lived here, but the improvements that we've made, you know, especially I think people would be surprised about the amount of grant funding that Parks and Recreation has had. Not only have we diversified as far as cross training and temporary staff and those type of things in order to make up for budget deficits, but we've been extremely successful in the grant arena. We've gotten in the past 7 years, we've gotten probably over $10 million in grant funding for the zoo, for our trails, for our recreation programs. You know, as far as something that's changed because of that, I mean, if you were to live here, you know, 7-8 years ago, the old Crowley property just south of Truesdale there was a very similar to the area behind the mall. So was the marsh area down in Elk River, but we had a lot of encampments and a lot of inappropriate uses down there. And I think the improvements there have made a big difference. They haven't made it go away, but it's definitely a huge difference from what used to be there. And I think that's a good sign of success.
Just mentioning Crowley property, it's kind of like a flashback, isn't it?
Yes.
Oh. For folks that have been here long term, mm-hmm. how do you work with them? Because they remember when this was or that was. I mean, is there a happy medium, or are they resources that you can tap into to maybe get a little bit of momentum or inertia going for certain projects?
Yeah, you know, to sit and talk about it and not complain. I mean, a lot of times people are saying, I've been saying this for so long, it's like, call us, let us know so that we can do something about it. I mean, we were talking at the break about some of the issues that you have for some of our facilities. You know,
you can say cemetery. I've complained about that on there for years.
Yeah. And so, I mean, I don't frequent cemeteries. You're kind of weird in that way. But
Thank you very much.
If that's, you know, to do something about it. I mean, the volunteer trail steward at Cooper Gulch at the Hickshari Trail, you know, those people are interested in those type of things. I think the dog park is a perfect example of a community effort where they came together, they had an interest in something, and they got together and, you know, did great with great partnership with the city and to make that happen, you know. With $30,000, I think, was the total that they were able to raise. Maybe 40, but, you know, that and with some help with funding and staffing and work with volunteers and stuff, you know, we made that a reality. I think that there's a lot of projects that can, you know, come to fruition with the overall effort. And, you know, there's those people that, you know, tend to have problems with things don't tend to be the people to help out with those solutions. So it would be great if those people that had the problems gave us, you know, an idea of what they want to do in order to help out.
You mean just the whiners?
Yes.
Is there a way that the community can augment some things? I mean, you were mentioning the dog park. Okay, for whatever reason, let's say somebody wanted to expand it. Mm-hmm. Okay, can they do stuff to help augment or bring in certain, I guess, dog houses or exercise things or whatever it is that really get most dogs excited? Can they add to what's already going on?
100%. We're actually currently right now working on a sponsorship, donation, naming rights type of program so that we can start incorporating that into our facilities and some of our deferred maintenance issue, as well as any sort of new project and stuff. As a matter of fact, at the dog park, we have a family that's interested in donating some benches there. We've just had somebody who's interested in donating a bench for the Hickshari Trail. And so we're trying to come up with a program to kind of promote that.
And formalize or streamline the process.
Yeah, formalize and get people an understanding of how it works.
Bench in center field at the Kennedy Field?
That would be perfect. Actually, Kennedy. Yeah.
Home field advantage, guys. Kind of like center field in Houston, right?
Yes.
KINS, News and Information Time, hits 8:41. We'll be back with more from Miles.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka. Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon. Oh, man, almost made it through the whole week. Rich, is the mic open? Anybody hear that? Everybody heard that one. Okay, fine. Good morning. Miles Slattery is alongside. Miles, middle of summertime, it's a new fiscal year for you guys, but certainly summertime means a whole bunch of different stuff also. Parks and Rec is up and going. You got some of the different camps for the kids and the different parks. Is it too late for somebody to participate or to help out, or if they've got kids to sign up for some of these various camps?
So summer camp is ending this week, and then our after-school program will start the 31st of August, so there'll be a week reprieve. So there's still opportunities to get into our after-school programs. Our summer camp programs this year were extremely successful. They were fully... they were overflown, actually, with students. We increased our free Camp Cooper from 50 participants to 75 participants because our recreation staff had received a grant that will cover 5 years of adding 25 additional kids to our after-school program. And they also did a good job of being really proactive in going out door-to-door to our local hotels and even behind the mall to try and find some houseless children that would be willing to participate. And over the last couple of weeks, we've been able to get approximately 8 families to participate in that. We've worked with Humboldt Transit Authority to set up a pilot program to allow them to get bus passes. And so our staff goes out and meets the children at a bus stop, signs off with the parents, and then takes the kids to the camp. They get eight hours of enriching educational time with the camp, and the parents can concentrate on those things that they need to make it better for the family.
Okay. Here's your weird question. I know you're always waiting for it. Mm-hmm. Who was Cooper? Who was Cooper's Colts named after?
That one. I know I have it written down.
Oh, do you?
I can email it to you.
Our old
parks manager has a nice little write-up of the history of all of our parks and how they were named. And Ross Park was one. There's a local historian that was wondering about Ross Park, and I'm pretty sure it was a sheriff or something like that that it was named after.
Oh, cool. Okay.
May be wrong. We do have what it is.
Carson, most people get Carson. Okay, mm-hmm. Hammond. Okay, most mm-hmm. of us get Hammond. But some of the other ones that are less well known today than what they were. I'm into a explanation mode. Little sign at the clubhouse or whatever.
We have a little paragraph right up on each one of our parks and how they came to be.
Very cool. Very cool. Yeah, send me that or... Mm-hmm. However I can find it.
No problem.
That would be cool. Wintertime, anything particularly concerning for you?
So, I mean, right now we're in scramble mode for the Waterfront Trail. We're in the middle of finalizing the design for the Waterfront Trail. We've done all the preliminary environmental work as well as the design work for the trail. It's in three phases, and it'll connect the Waterfront Trail and connect to the Hikshari Trail and end up going along the bay all the way along Eureka Slough and underneath the 101 Bridge and connect over by the Open Door Health Clinic. And so
that loops back into town. It doesn't connect into this thing between Eureka and Arcata?
The northern portion of that is funded from Arcata to Bray Cut, and the southern portion the county is working on now. They're doing the environmental work on it, and then they'll need to do design, and that's going to be one of the more expensive portions of the Bay Trail because of the constraints that are involved.
Is it going to come across the Slough Bridge or across the old railroad bridge?
So the theory is that we would do it's not gotten to the design point yet, so there's got to be some feasibility analysis for those type of things. I mean, ideally, Caltrans, as we've talked to, and they can't cantilever off their existing bridges, so... The railroad bridge would work, but I don't know how feasible that is, so it most likely will be a very expensive new footbridge, which would be very nice.
Oh, I'm glad you're working with Coastal Commission. Thanks for coming by. Join us Monday for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make a good